each of us. The title that I have today of the split sermon is, as Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, "Come, follow me." Those are important words in our lives, as Jesus says to each of us, you know, "Come, follow me." As we know, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. And if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, and I'll begin in verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" So the words that I have underlined on the scripture there is where I'm focusing on for today's message. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. As we heard in the other message from John this morning about what is taking place in the world and what generation we may be in, what does God want you and I to be doing as his children, as his disciples? He says, "Come and follow me." Let's continue in verse 25. It says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Brethren, some may think that losing your life for God means to die, to be persecuted and be put to death, which some can be, and it can happen, and some did. But if you'll notice what we read in verse 24, Jesus Christ said to his disciples to deny himself. That is what the focus on here is today. How often do we deny ourselves, or do we do what we want to do most of the time, day in and day out? Are we asking ourselves that question? Or do we ask God, what does he want us to do each and every day? What do you have in store for me today, Heavenly Father? What do you want me to do? Or do we give in to unrighteous anger, thoughts of unforgiveness, and mistreat others when we have been mistreated in return? Do we say things we know we should not say? Watch things on TV or on the internet that we should not be watching? Do we take that extra plate of food or that extra dessert when we know that we are already full and we don't need anything else? Got some shaking their heads. No, don't go there. But this is a part of what God says. He wants us to recognize. He wants to be an intimate part of your life and mine, day in and day out. What about the job that we work at, if we are still employed? Is it really the job that God wants us to be doing? Or have we taken the time to ask him, "Lord, is this the job that you want for me? If this is the type of work that you want me to be doing, if it's not, then please close that door, that door may be shut." Are we willing to ask God for those things? Brethren, these things and many others are a part of denying oneself. God knows what is best for each of us. And he doesn't want us to give in to the enemy who can tempt us throughout each day. Satan is very subtle. He wants us to do what he wants us to be doing instead of what God wants. In Luke, it's written this way concerning denying self in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. It says, "Then he," that is Jesus, "said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," how often? "Daily, and follow after me." When I read the scriptures here about the cross, or if you prefer not using the word cross and you prefer the word stake, but what the purpose of using the word cross here, it is relates back to what Jesus went through. It's referring to the trials and tests, the sacrifices and sufferings that we may face in our lives. One commentary says it this way: "The cross here is put for all sufferings, as men or Christians, providential afflictions, persecutions for righteousness' sake, every trouble that befalls us, either for doing well or for not doing ill." That covers a lot. Next, let's look at what a disciple is. I looked this up, and here's what I found. It says, "A disciple is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, such as Christianity." Webster's definition of disciple is a follower of any teacher or school. A true disciple is not just a student or a learner, but a follower, one who applies what he has learned. That's an important part of it. We can hear, but do we apply what we have learned, what God wants us to do? Thus, part of that, denying self for what God wants. So it's not just about following Jesus when we want to or when we feel up to it, but Jesus said daily to follow him when it comes to denying oneself. It is for our own good, and it is a part of following Jesus Christ. The more that you and I deny ourselves of our wants, the better we will be in drawing closer to God, and he will draw closer to you and I when we do. Have you ever noticed that when you walk into a dark room or you're in a dark area and you flip a light switch on, it's hard to automatically just focus on that light, especially if that light is very bright. It just, your eyes just want to close or not focus on it. And that is how it can be in your life and mine when we have a dark area in our life, an area that we're not surrendered to God in. When that light is shining on it, we don't necessarily want to look at it because it's a bright light. Let's take a look at John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." This scripture is speaking of Jesus, of course, that when he walked on the earth, the darkness, those who were in darkness, did not comprehend who he was. Next, let's look at Romans chapter 13, and I'll read verses 11 and 12. "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." So any dark area that we may have, God wants us to cast it off so that we may put on that armor of light, follow him and do what he wants us to do. Let's take a look at some verses concerning following him. The first one that I have is found in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Then he, that is Jesus, said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here Jesus is saying to them, I have a different path for you than the one that you have been on. He wants to make his disciples fishers of men. The next area that I have is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. It says here, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God wants us to focus on, in these two scriptures, that we've been bought with a price when we've been brought to himself, to God. He called us, but yet when he did, now that we've been brought to him, we're not our own. We're not to seek our own way or our own will. Those that God has called to himself, again, are bought with a price, not to serve our own self. Our bodies, as a living sacrifice, means every part of us, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. It means our minds, our thoughts, what we see, what we hear, what we say with our mouth, what we do with our hands, and where we walk with our feet, our whole body. I'll be mentioning more about this a little later. But now let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, and I'll read verses 34 through 37. It says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Verse 35, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Those aren't easy words to hear, but it can happen. Verse 37, for he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves daughter, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This means we are to put God's first. Our Heavenly Father knew that when he gave us the first commandment. We are to put God first in our lives. Not a family member, not anyone else. The Gospel of Luke says it this way in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, the better translation for hate there would be to love less. If we do not love less his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also. That means you and I. We're to love it less than we're to love God. Our own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Those are some words that when I was first going through this, you know, it's kind of hard to, where am I at in my life? Am I close to God like I need to be? Am I surrendered my will to his will, or am I still going my own way in some areas? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10, and I'll continue in verse 38. It says, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, and he who finds life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. when we find our own life or try to find what we, our lives, it means we are trying to do what we want to do and not asking or seeking God daily for what he wants us to do. But when we lose our life for his sake, it means that we are seeking God, asking him daily, what would you have me to do today? In all things and in all circumstances, then following God's will when he lets us know. Next, let's turn to Luke chapter 18, and I'll read verses 18 through 30. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 18. Now a certain rich ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 19, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." Of course, he was speaking of the Heavenly Father. Verse 20, Jesus said to him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And of course, the ruler said to him in verse 21, "All these things I have kept from my youth." Verse 22. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Verse 23. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Verse 25. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 26. And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" They knew that what Jesus was saying was a hard thing for them. Verse 27. But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Those things that God is asking us to do, they may seem impossible, but with God, they are possible. Jesus, of course, denied himself, and he did the Father's will, even to the cross, to death. But the Father afterward blessed him. Even while he was going through, he was with him, but now he poured out his blessing upon him. Verse 28 says, "Then Peter said, 'See, we have left all and followed you.'" Peter was wanting to know, what's in it for us? Verse 29, Jesus said to him, "So he said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God.'" Verse 30, "Who shall not receive many times more in this present time, and in the age to come, eternal life." So he answered Peter's question here. I'm going to bless you if you'll do what I say. I'll be with you. But in the age to come, I'll also bless you with eternal life. We see that Jesus mentioned to the rich ruler to keep the commandments of God, which we are to do. The Sabbath, the holy days, the laws of God. But also there is more to it than that in following Jesus. Jesus also says that we are to deny ourselves daily in order to follow him. But as we read in verse 30, in doing so, he said, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life? That, again, was what Peter was asking about. When we give our lives to our Father's will, then he will bless us. Those words are encouraging to us. It gives us hope. When we lose our life or lay it down for his sake, for God's will, he will be with us and bless us. Next, let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, a very familiar scripture. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Again, as we just read there in Romans, in giving our bodies as a living sacrifice means every part of us, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. It means we are to live sacrificially. A living sacrifice, sacrificially. So that when we give our lives to follow Jesus, to serve him and the Father's purpose for calling us to himself, he wants us to serve that purpose. These examples that I will use here in the next area that I'm going to cover, they can be used in our daily prayer life. I know that I've begun to use these areas that I'm going to cover in mine as well, that you can add this, and if you want to add some other things to it, you can, but from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, how you and I can sacrifice ourselves in giving to God's will. First, let's focus on our mind. Lord, I give you my mind. May I love you with all my thoughts and all my strength. Lord, may I think and meditate on your words, thoughts of praise and thoughts of your worthiness. Guard my thoughts from the enemy on what he might try to get me to think on. Lord, renew and transform the way that I think so that it is according to your will. May you help me to think only on the things that are good, lovely, true, and pure, the things that are pleasing and honorable to you, God. That my thoughts be filled with faith and reverence and love for you, God, and follow you. Next, I go to my eyes. Lord, I give you my eyes. As your word says, the eyes are a light to my soul. Help me to see you as you are. Protect me from seeing things that are ungodly or immoral to you, not to see things or watch things that are impure. May I see things and people as you see them, Lord, not as how I may see them, but as you see them. Help me to see them that way, so that I may serve those that you lead me to. May I see the hurting, the helpless, the hopeless, and see them as you do and follow you. Next, I go to my ears. Lord, may I have ears to hear your words of life, your spoken words. Let me not listen to the words of falsehoods, rumors, or lies. Lord, let me hear your call of what you would have me to do daily, that I may hear from you, Lord, and say yes, yes to your words of wisdom and guidance in order to follow you. Next, Lord, help me with my mouth. May the words of my mouth and my meditation praise you. Lord, may my tongue, the tongue in my mouth, speak of you and of your word and glorify your name. May the words that I use edify, encourage, and equip those around me as you lead, Lord, to speak of you, Father, and of your kingdom and of your Son, and follow you. Lord, I give you my heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. May you cleanse my heart and transform it to serve you, you and your will daily. Help me to get myself out of the way of what you want, that you, Lord, may reign as Lord in my life. Help me to have a heart of flesh and not a stony heart. May you guard my heart. May I give you my whole heart. May my heart serve and follow you. Lord, I give you my hands. May you use them to serve you, to use them in the way that you have assigned for me. Lord, may my hands be open to you and giving to others. Lord, help me not to hold on with clenched hands the things that you have blessed me with or given to me, but to share them with gladness and joy, and lead me to do what you want me to do and follow you. Lord, I give you my feet. Help me to walk in your paths of righteousness and truth, in the direction that you would lead me by your Holy Spirit. Send me and use me that I may follow you. Help me in giving of myself to serve you and your purpose for me daily in order to follow you. You might think of other things to add to this, but I went from the top of my head, and you know your mind and your eyes, and you know the rest of that, how you can use that in your daily prayer life. Next, let's go to John chapter 12 and verse 26. It says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. That's an area of being that living sacrifice, willing to serve God and his purpose and his ways. Of course, in the verses that I covered earlier about Jesus Christ and what he emphasized for his disciples, was on the following, about following him, giving up whatever or whoever you need to in order to do so. Sometimes he may ask us to give up our friendship or relationship with a person in order to follow him. These scriptures that I have covered so far can also reveal what's in our hearts, whether we are still wanting to serve the flesh more and ourselves more, or whether we are willing to be God's servant daily, denying self, asking for his will daily in order to follow him. An example of denying self for God's purpose can be like the metamorphosis of a caterpillar worm into a beautiful butterfly. It goes into that cocoon, and you don't see what all's taking place, but God's handiwork is at work there with that worm. When that change begins to take place, out comes a beautiful butterfly. Now let's take a look at a few verses concerning how we may follow Jesus and be like that beautiful butterfly, to become like that. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, and I'll read verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." When we do those things, we're becoming like that beautiful butterfly. No matter what we're facing, or hardship or trial, or if someone's coming at us, if we practice these things, this is becoming that beautiful butterfly. Next is Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. It says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace." Sometimes we have to pursue it. It don't just happen automatically. "Pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." That's what he wants you and I doing, or to do, to become like that beautiful butterfly. Next, I'll read the last part of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, "And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Some of those are part of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Now, when God's Spirit is at work in our lives, he can lead us to do the things that he has for us through his Holy Spirit to be able to walk in these things. Next, I have Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, "Pursue peace with all people," not just part of them, not just among ourselves, but pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. We want to see the Lord, don't we? We know that this is what he wants us to be doing, like that beautiful butterfly, to pursue peace with all people. And then holiness, and that which without those things we are not able to see God. Even Job had not really seen the Lord. Even though he was called a righteous man, until he faced and went through what all he had to face, until he prayed for his friends, until he repented to God, learning to follow peace. And that can mean accepting God's will for our lives. Are we willing to accept those trials and tests that come our way to help us to mature and grow? It's not always easy, but they're there for a reason. And as we know, Job went through an awful lot, more than any of us have ever had to face that I know of. "Being at peace with men and humbling oneself before God in holiness." Those are important guidelines for us. Let's take a look at Job chapter 40 and verse 1. And what Job said after he went through the things that he had to face, all the trials. He said, "Moreover, the Lord answered," it says, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said," verse 2, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes," or other translation says, or "he who argues with God, let him answer it." Verse 3, "Then Job answered the Lord and said," in verse 4, Job said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth." Verse 5, "Once I have spoken, but I did not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further." Job was left speechless before God. Let's take a look at Job chapter 42 and verse 5. This is what Job began to see. It says in verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. So Job did have to face an awful lot. But yet, now in the end, as God brought him through the trials and tests, he says, my eyes now sees you for who you are, for what you are doing in my life. The more we are willing to humble ourselves before God and say to him, what is for your will for me each day? Whatever the cross is that we may have to bear, God will be with us more as long as we're seeking his will. He will help us more and guide us more and use us more to be his salt and his light. We have heard the words, I am waiting on God, which we are to do when we're seeking him for guidance and for wisdom. But when he leads us and he guides us to do what he wants, is God waiting on you and me? Is he waiting on you to truly come and follow him?